Brother Larry this morning talking about friends, acquaintances in heaven. And this morning, for some reason, I just sat at my desk and singing about Brother Hancock. And he came to my mind, and I thought, man, I'd like to talk to Brother Hancock. Then I started to think, everybody knows how excited he used to get, and started to think what a time he's having in heaven. And we do look forward to that. Is part of heaven, seeing those that have gone on before. They're not more important than Christ, of course, but that is part of heaven and something to look forward to. Again, we like to go to Romans chapter 1. We've been on this for quite a while. I had no idea that it was going to take this long. We do get quite a bit of comments. So far, all positive. From the website concerning this series. But we've come down to verse 30. And we looked last week at haters of God, despiteful. Now we come to the word proud. We live in a very proud society. Again, these are the results of a reprobate mind, a mind that has been given over to itself. Pride, of course, is inordinate self-esteem. We hear a lot today about self-esteem. You don't want to hurt anybody's self-esteem. Self-esteem is overrated. It's the absence or loss of humility. It is described in the Word of God by several words, and each of these words just describe another characteristic or looks at pride from another angle. The Bible has nothing good to say about pride. Nothing. Not one positive comment is made about pride in Scripture. It's always viewed as sin. It's always viewed as destructive. I believe there is a fine line between self-esteem and pride. And that line is very easily crossed. But again, this pride is described in many words. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, Proverbs 8, verse 13, Isaiah 13, verse 11, uses the word arrogancy. Arrogancy. Arrogancy is the feeling or the display of superiority. Someone thinks that they are better than someone else. And that's in us by nature. And it's something that we need to be aware of. It's something we need to battle. Arrogancy. There are people who just come off as arrogant. And the reason they come off that way is because they probably are. But it's just a feeling. Doesn't even have to be expressed. Usually it isn't, but it's a feeling of superiority. Another word is conceit. That would describe pride. Notice in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12, Proverbs 26, verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Here's a man who's depending on his personal impression of himself, his conceit, and it's very dangerous because there's more hope of a fool than of him. Notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Conceit is a high opinion of one's worth. They won't survive without me. If I'm not there, everything falls apart. That's conceit. And again, it's a high opinion of a person's individual worth. Another word is haughty. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 28. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Again, haughty is a feeling, not necessarily an expression. It's a feeling of preeminence. Conceit is more, it's a feeling, but it's also more of an expression. So it's just the feeling of preeminence. And people can cover these feelings of preeminence, these feelings of pride, they can cover them with a cloak of false humility. And that also is a danger. When someone is always, it just seems to be the theme of their conversations, how bad they are, and how lowly they think of themselves. You saying that all the time? Who are you trying to convince? I don't buy it. If someone's always talking that way, there's such a thing as a false humility. It's described by the word boastings. Of course, that's verbal. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Well, there's boasting. There's bragging. It's self-confidence, or the vaunting of oneself. Pride is described as vainglory. Philippians 2. If we turn there, Philippians 2. Very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The remedy, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a very rare thing today. Let us esteem others better than ourselves. There's not a whole lot of people that do that on a consistent basis. But vainglory is to glory in oneself. More importantly, it's to do things for the glory of self. One may do a charitable work, but what's your reason for doing it? Is it to help those in need? Or is it that you get some glory? You do something at the church. Why do you do it? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Do we do it to help? Or do we do it to get credit? And again, that's vainglory. If we do something to get patted on the back, if we do something to get complimented, or for whatever for anything along those lines, that's vainglory. And that is pride. And again, you can pick those people out. They're the ones who get angry when you don't notice what they've done. They get angry if you don't thank them for what they've done. They've done it all for the wrong reasons. So there are two aspects of pride. There's the outward display of pride. Proverbs 6, verse 17, it's referred to as a proud look. So that's the outward display. And in Proverbs 21, 4, has a high look. The outward display of pride. Of course, you cannot display outwardly something that's not there inwardly. So pride is an inward thing, as all sin is. And therefore, it's addressed in Proverbs 16 and verse 5 as the proud in heart. Now, the proud in heart may not always show the outward manifestation of pride, but they're proud in heart. And coming here to our text, the word proud, of course, would cover both aspects, outward and inward. So much so, again, being filled with, being full of pride. So much so that it's commonplace. It's an epidemic. Society today is drowning, or already has drowned, in self-esteem, superiority, self-importance, self-glory. Again, it's epidemic. And people are taught to be proud. Children are taught to be very proud. They're taught that. Not necessarily on purpose, but many children are taught to be proud. Pride defiles. Pride defiles. Remember Mark chapter 7, I believe it's verses 21 through 23. The Pharisees were complaining because the disciples didn't wash their hands. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. And Jesus said, there's something worse than not washing your hands, and that's to have filth in your heart. And one of the things he mentions is pride. And he said, it's not unwashing hands that destroy a man. It's what proceeds from the heart. So pride defiles. It pollutes. It hardens the mind. This is where we are today in society. Notice Daniel chapter 5, talking about Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. His mind hardened in pride. So pride hardens. Obadiah, verse 3, Pride deceives. Pride deceives. Perhaps the most serious consequence of pride, notice Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Pride is a hindrance to seeking the Lord, because pride says, I can handle this, I can fix this, I don't need God. Pride is a hindrance to seeking the Lord. Pride is a hindrance to the will of God. Not doing the will of God, I should say. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. Remember Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should let thee go? Who is the Lord that I should obey his will? Pride is a hindrance to seeking the will of God. Because after all, God's given me a good brain and I'm intelligent and I know what's best for me. I don't need God to tell me what's best for my life. I know what's best for me. But you don't. Pride is a hindrance to seeking the will of God. And even those who seek the will of God, if you're not careful, pride will hinder you in really, truly seeking God's will. Pride is perilous. Again, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. And one of the things mentioned is pride. Pride leads to contempt and rejection of God's message. Proud people have contempt for the message of God, because the message of God goes against pride. And they reject. And it's a great hindrance to them having to be able to personally apply the Word of God. Proverbs 13, verse 10, where there's pride, there's contention. Where there's pride, there's strife. Much contention would end if it weren't for pride. Pride causes all kinds of problems. Proverbs 11, verse 2, pride leads to shame. And here we are in a society filled with pride, filled with the consequences of pride. You'll notice just through general observation, but also throughout the Scripture, pride and a fault-finding spirit go hand in hand. The Pharisees, of course, are the prime example. They were very proud in their religion, very proud in their outward behavior. And they were a people of a fault-finding spirit. That's what pride does. Pride produces a harsh spirit. Pride produces superficiality and a desperation for attention. Pay attention to me. It's pride. Pride leads to the neglect of others, which of course brings us to narcissism. Narcissistic society is based upon pride. You can't be narcissistic without pride. The two kind of go hand in hand. So, due to pride, all of these things are epidemic in our society. The next thing that he mentions is boasters, the verbal expression of pride. To praise oneself. To express one's own credit for their own honor, And 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, speaking of perilous times, mentions boasters. It's part of that which makes things perilous. And then we come to inventors of evil things. And we'll pick that up next week. Inventors of evil things. The consequences of a reprobate mind are nothing but destructive. Destroys everything. And we see here in Romans 1 a people or a society that has been given over to a reprobate mind. The truth is, they don't know any better. Their mind is so warped. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've already sung, and Lord, for the devotional and the scriptures. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house, the health to be able to be here, the desire that you've put in our hearts to want to be here. We thank you, Lord, for all of that. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to each one of us this day. Help us, Lord. Cause us to draw closer to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.